Hear the witness of the word. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12.
You are listening to Christian Radio.
Christian Radio.
It's time now to gather round for the Expounder Ministries Radio Bible Teaching Program, Walking in Simplicity, with your host, Brother Stephen Milhorn. Brother Stephen, ordained minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, welcomes you to a time of prayer and ministry of the Word. At the close of today's program, an address will be given to contact Brother Stephen. And now, let's seek the Lord for a taste of that wonderful manna that can only come from God's Holy Scriptures.
To God Almighty in the highest, and peace from God, love from God, mighty salvation from the Messiah of the Jews, Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, prophesied to come in Genesis, Deuteronomy, the Psalms, in Daniel, prophesied to come, and he did come, and he fulfilled the words of God, and he is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah to God forevermore. Heavenly Father, we declare that we love you today and that you are our God, the God of Israel, the God of the Holy Bible, Old Testament and New, the God of the Christians and Jews, yea, of all flesh that are willing to come to him. So Heavenly Father, we do love you and we trust in you, O God, in your word, in your promises, in all the changes that are coming to our world. We look to you for all things. Hallelujah to God forevermore. Welcome, my beloved brothers and sisters, to the Walking in Simplicity program. This is your host, Brother Stephen Milhorn, and today we are going to talk about changes, all sorts of changes, the past, present, and future. No one likes changes unless they are good changes. But for those of you who read and believe the Holy Scriptures of the Holy Bible, we know that big changes have occurred throughout history. And according to the Scriptures, there are big changes ahead of us, not only for the wicked, the violent, the immoral, but also for the believer. Big changes are ahead, and we see changes in progress right now with how our world operates, and soon to come, the one world control by the Prince of Darkness, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast. What sort of changes do we get excited about or even upset about in our current day? Surely when one is born again of Jesus Christ's Spirit, that's the best change that could ever happen to anyone. There are other good changes. Getting a new job, coming into a pile of money, being very healthy, getting married, or obtaining a new love interest. And what gets us upset? The loss of health, the loss of income, the loss of a home, or you lose your sweetheart, or maybe you're just miserable in your singleness. What else gets us upset? War, social unrest, even personal failings. But it's inevitable, my beloved, that changes will occur in our life. So let us go back and briefly review those big changes throughout history that affects us all. First, we see the fall of Lucifer in heaven, and how that he convinced one-third of the angels to rebel against the Most High. They all live with God. They saw him, and yet they used their own free will to rebel against him. That is why God wants us to come unto Him by faith in His Word, because we don't have to see Him to believe, even though He came to the earth for a brief 33 years. But when iniquity was found in the devil Lucifer, instead of repenting, instead of asking God to remove it, he went with it. And even though they saw all the things of heaven and God Himself, one-third of the created beings decided to believe Lucifer over Almighty God. And as a catastrophic result of all that, what did Jesus say? In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." So in heaven and in the angelic world, a great change occurred in heaven when the rebellion came, and the two-thirds of the angels that were left knew immediately that free will outside of God's will brings destruction. So when God made a perfect earth and a perfect first man and woman, setting them in a perfect world, in a perfect garden, so beautiful, all the fruits and vegetables already developed, and they had all of that under their dominion. And what happened? They used their free will to believe Satan's word over God's word, and they ate of the forbidden fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they consumed it, the poison of sin and of Satan got inside their perfect bodies and defiled them, bringing death unto them and upon their offspring. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, the change that occurred in the Garden of Eden from a perfect world, having dominion over it, having eternal life right before them in a perfect world, and all they had to do was obey one commandment in their perfect state, and they decided to use their independent will over God's will and believe the devil over God, and sent all of the future of mankind into sin and death and of a fiery future unless they are saved by God. Major changes in heaven, and now major changes on the earth. And the men and women of that day, from Adam unto Noah, they sinned greatly upon the earth. There was immorality and violence everywhere. The sons of God, or the fallen angels, cohabitated with the daughters of men, producing giants, the Nephilim, the men of renown. They were a hybrid breed, and when those unredeemable humanoids died, their dead spirit became tormenting demon spirits that we know today. So as a result of that first 1,000 years, death came to the earth, and since Noah was perfect in all his generations, being untainted from the line of the devil's seed, God chose to destroy all of mankind by bringing a flood of waters onto the surface of the whole earth, so that everything that had breath died, and Noah and the 7 people that were with him were preserved alive in the ark, and God started over with mankind. All the while there were no written scriptures. So God raised up a man named Abram, which after his encounter with God, he was an obedient man. He feared God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then God raised up Moses to bring the oracles of God to the earth. Beginning with the law of Moses, the written word of God was introduced to mankind, but not all were there to receive it. For back before the flood, when the earth was one landmass, all the men and women spread out over all the land, Guandano land, Pangaea. And then in Genesis 10:25, in the days of Peleg, God divided the continents, and they were separated. And at that point there were men and women on these different continents, separated from Africa and Israel, to where the written word of God began. So all the knowledge they ever had was the hand-me-down knowledge from Adam and Eve and from Noah, and they had no written word of God. They had to obey Romans 2, that of the conscience. So God, through Moses, introduced the biggest change theretofore by bringing the word of God to mankind, so that he would have a guidepost and a knowledge of God. So far, my beloved, the changes started in heaven with the devil, then with Adam and Eve, then with Noah, then with Abraham, and now with Moses. And then after the children of Israel were established in their land that God gave them eternally, at the will of the people he raised up kings, of which was Saul, who disobeyed and lost his authority. Then through the anointing of Samuel, God raised up King David. And even though he was a man after God's own heart and loved God deeply, he had personal failings. He lusted and coveted after another man's wife, and he took her and made her with child and conspired to kill her husband. And what did God say through Nathan the prophet unto King David? A huge change came to King David's life after this colossal sin. 2 Samuel 12, verse 9 and onward. Nathan speaking unto King David, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." So even though King David loved God, as most of us do, if we sin greatly, there are consequences. Then there was Solomon, the son of King David. He had a great change also. When God asked him what he wanted, and he desired wisdom and the ability to rule over God's people properly, and God endowed him with wisdom and riches and provisions that have not been equaled to this day. But what happened to him? Because he disobeyed the Lord in marrying forbidden wives of the heathens, having many concubines also, so just to have sex with, he willfully fell prey to their false gods, and at the end of his life was offering incense unto false gods and not walking fully after the God of Israel. Where is he today? Is he in heaven or is he in hell? Only God knows. But the majority of the kings of Israel were wicked, evil doers. They forsook the way of the law of Moses, went after other gods, causing the priests and the people to backslide for many, many years. And as promised in the law of Moses, he brought judgment upon them, a severe judgment. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah, having only done evil before me from their youth, for the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with their work of their hands, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 32:30. God forewarned the children of Israel in the law of Moses that if they were to rebel, great woe and judgment would come upon them. And Jerusalem was destroyed, emptied of her people, and carried away into Babylon for 70 years under slavery and bondage. What was the next big change that came into the world? It was when God himself entered into the world in human form via Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The single most important and significant and impacting change that marked world history and all of mankind was forever altered by him. He was prophesied to come by the scriptures. He did come. It's prophesied that he will return, and he shall return to put away all the current evil that we see, to rule and reign for 1,000 years in the future, to destroy the current world that we live in, and make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And these are changes that are ahead of us that we must prepare our hearts for. But when Messiah came to the earth, he came and destroyed the works of the devil, taking the keys of death and hell. He is the owner of the earth. He is the owner of eternal life. He is the life giver. So the change that came to the world at that time was the most significant in all the universe. And yet we have two congruent kingdoms operating at the same time. Those who are not born again are under the realm of the prince of darkness, under the old rules. And those of us who are in the kingdom of of light of God, with Jesus Christ as our head, as our King, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom is against the realm of darkness and the fallen ones and the demons, and He has given us authority over them. So when you are born again of His Spirit, many changes will come to your life. You enter into the realm of God in the Spirit with all the benefits of His kingdom, the promise of heaven, spiritual authority against the powers of darkness, for the devil's only purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy, and to drag the souls of men down into hell fire and eventually to the lake of fire, because that's where he's going to end up. And he wants to deny God the souls of men and bring as many men as he wants to share his misery forever. And then we move on through history. When the Bible was made into a book in Europe, and then mankind had the scriptures to read for themselves, this was also a major change in the lives of people. And many people lost their lives in that spiritual battle. And then we had the Europeans discover the land of America, where a great change came to the American Indians, whose land was visited by the Europeans. And then the Europeans settled, and they took over. The French, the Spaniards, the English, the Europeans took over America and treated the American Indians very ill. Yes, there was bloodshed on both sides, but they were a conquered people. Then great change came to the citizens of Africa when they were enslaved, first by the Muslims, then the Europeans, then the Americans. And in the American history, great change came again by the Civil War, which liberated the African American people. And it took them many decades to recover, and some say they are still recovering. Then, speaking of great changes to America, World Wars I and II, where millions were killed, and in Europe, 6 million Hebrew Jewish people were murdered. Great changes came to the world in that day. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, do you not see that we ourselves are also in the midst of history? Changes are coming to our land and even the world, for the new world order, and the devil will raise up another Adolf Hitler, a tyrannical dictator who not only will try to kill 6 million Jews, but as the Antichrist, he will enslave the lives of all people on the earth and cause them to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead. And those who take the mark will be forever banished from heaven, but will go straight to hell when they die. And those that resist the mark will not be able to buy or sell or function in the society, but will be outcast. They'll be a non-faction. And we are in that period of history right now, through technology and through the will of the people and through the will of bad government. We are quickly headed to a financial collapse, a one world money, a one world order, a one world religion. Do you think the jabs they're trying to give people are for their own good? They're testing out compliance. They're testing out people's willingness to be controlled. In my view, the stuff is poison. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, the rapture will surely come, but whether it's at the beginning or the middle, there is debate about it. But we must be ready at all times to live for God, to occupy till He comes. Whether we enter into the tribulation or no, we must be that light of the world. And the tribulation that the Bible speaks about is not very far away, maybe months or just a few years, surely within the lifetime of young people, where we will see tsunamis, earthquake, famine, pestilences, whether they're man-made in a lab or natural causes, boils and sicknesses and diseases will come. Nations shall rise against nation, wars and rumors of wars. There is rebellion and sin everywhere, wickedness. For those of you who are old enough to remember the 50s and 60s, there was decent living, moral lifestyles. But for the last 50 plus years, we've seen great change in morality in America. Pornography, homosexual marriage, abortion, drunkenness and drugs and violence exponentially increasing. Great changes in America have come. people running wild in the street, and soon the dollar will collapse. Vaccinations may be forced upon you. The mark of the beast surely will, and you must say no, or else you will go to hell. The tribulation is also right before us. Violence and morality everywhere. High prices, job shortages, food shortages, supply shortages, unbelievable cost of wood, and there is a lot of suffering yet to come, my beloved. And we are in that period of history right now, just before the great fall of America and the beginning of the tribulation. There will also be asteroids that hit the oceans and cause tsunamis, wormwood, Apophis. Let us go now unto the scriptures, my beloved, for in them we have our safety, we have our knowledge. Revelation 5 verse 1 and onward. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And we know by the scriptures that no one on earth or under the earth or in heaven was found worthy to open the book save Jesus Christ only. Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, and I heard the beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and some interpretations has that as a green horse, for the color of chlorophyll, but a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, there are some people out there that think, We are already in the first part of the tribulation. We do see war and violence. We do see the economic woe. We do see violence and the sword. We see pestilences. Whether all this is referring to the first part of the tribulation, which is right ahead of us, or we're in the midst of it right now, it's kind of hard to tell, because it's all running together. But let the Lord reveal that unto your spirit. So why am I reviewing all this, my beloved? This is what we're experiencing now, or that is shortly coming to pass on the earth, so that whether people are saved or unsaved, these things are coming. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony that they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So there will be sanctified believers during the whole of the tribulation, whether it's the born-again people going halfway through, or those who in the tribulation will become believers and pay for that with their lives. They will be assigned under the altar of God, wearing the white robes. And verse 12 says, And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. This does not mean that all the celestial stars that are out there are going to attach themselves to the earth. This means the one-third of the fallen angels will be cast down to the earth. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So we see, my beloved brothers and sisters, catastrophic change, troubles, woes, all these changes that are coming. The great wrath of God Almighty will come to this earth, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This must mean, my beloved, that at some point in the latter part of the tribulation, when the heavens are rolled back like a scroll, they will be able to see in the sky the wrath of the Lamb, and they will want the mountains and rocks to fall upon them. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, Revelation 8:1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. No speaking, no singing of God's praises, but silence. And in verse 5 it says, and the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. On and on it goes in the description. So the changes that are ahead, my beloved, are grievous. They're catastrophic. They're life-changing. We are in that period of history right now, which is right before all these things come. You must be born again of the Spirit of God of Christ Jesus. This is the best change you could ever have. And then the Christian life will be a whole new world opened up to you. The love of God, the mercy and tenderness and grace of God, His provision, His protection. But there is also the demonic side where we war in the Spirit against principalities and powers, spiritual rulers, high places. And yet all this that's written in Revelation is still to come. It is shortly ahead of us. The great city of Jerusalem will be divided. The islands will flee away. The mountains won't be found. 100-pound weights of hail dropping out of the sky. So much is ahead. The red horse, the white horse, the black horse, the pale horse, the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. All this is ahead. If you think you're going to have your dream life, your best life now, it will never be so. We are not our own. We are God's property. We are in His kingdom, His army, His property. We do not do what we want to do and selfishly live our lives according to our own will. But we are His people. And if you want to be in His kingdom, He must be the king over you. You must be born again. Changes have occurred from the time the devil fell in heaven to Adam and Eve, to Noah, Abraham and Moses, the written word of God, the Bible being on the earth, the kings of Israel, the Holy Spirit being given in the day of Pentecost. Changes have occurred and will occur. We're always changing. You must prepare yourself and your family for all the catastrophic changes that are ahead. There will be no more days of Leave It to Beaver, no more days of Shalom on the earth. We are in a spiritual battle, and what's at stake are the souls of men. So my beloved brothers and sisters, do not be surprised when you see a tyrannical government forcing its citizens to take the vaccine and then later on the mark of the beast. Do not be surprised when the black horse rides and there's famine and supply shortages and hunger and pestilence in the world. Do not be surprised when you see the word of God fulfilled on the earth, for it is before our eyes right now. And so, my beloved brothers and sisters, it is time to change the tenor of this program and pray against the American Holocaust of abortion. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray that you would bring legislation, a change in the hearts of the American people, a change in the hearts of the governors, the senators, the congressmen, the Supreme Court, and the president to stop the slaying of innocent children in the womb. For these human beings and babies that are inside of women who are developing are human beings, separate blood type, separate DNA, separate heart and lungs, separate body from that of the mother, and to go up inside of her and to kill it and to pull it out is an abomination before God. And America will receive the recompense from heaven for such a great slaughter. Pray that you are covered in the blood of the Lamb. And Heavenly Father, change the hearts of the American people to stop the killing of babies in the womb. In the mighty name of Yeshua Jesus. So keep in mind, my beloved, changes are inevitable. Changes some for the good, but mostly for the bad. Prepare your hearts and minds for the demise of our once great nation. Cling to God while you still have opportunity. Love Him and pray to Him. Sing to Him and worship Him. Cleave to Him, and I will see you in that day. And mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.
Thank you, my beloved brothers and sisters, for joining me today in the broadcast. If you would like more information about the ministry, you may go to www.expounderministries.com. And remember, God sent His Son, that you may live. Believe on Him. Hallelujah. God bless you. The time is short, my beloved. Come back to God before it is too late. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.